I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Joseph Kahn believed in his film Detention so much that he financed the teen horror comedy himself. He made every decision, and what's on the screen is his baby. The film follows a high school senior who is given detention on the night of her prom. Throughout the night, her friends are killed by a fictional serial killer. Joseph brought the film to South by Southwest for its world premiere, and it definitely did not disappoint. The film is filled with pop culture references, quick edits, and is beautifully shot. It's definitely the work of a stellar music video director. I talked to Joseph the morning after the premiere, and he was definitely in good spirits. We talked about his decision to finance the film himself, not finishing casting till 2 weeks into the film, and finding the perfect actors. This site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Joseph.
You got a great group of like young kids in the film. Was that all you were doing? How much did you rely on the casting director?
I was there for all the auditions. We had an extensive casting process. I mean, the movie was put together in like a month and a half before we started shooting, from the beginning of prep to the actual shoot. And of that, I'd say like we were casting all throughout the whole process. In fact, some of the roles weren't even cast until like 2 weeks into the shoot.
How nervous were you about that?
Very nervous. I just couldn't nail some of the cast, but I wouldn't pull the trigger until I absolutely found the actors. And the beautiful thing is that when you cast young actors that are like, you know, 17, 18, 19, there's a lot of them coming through that haven't broken through because they're just so young. You know, they're new to town. Something like Aaron David Johnson hadn't done anything before. Like, he literally was in L.A. Like a month into it. And I went through like 100 different people for his part. And he walked through the door, and even though he was so fresh and young and unknown, it was just obvious he was super talented. And that was my entire approach, that I would find these young actors that hadn't been around, these nuggets of gold that just needed to be sifted through. But I went through tons of people for every part.
Yeah. Wow. So was it ever frustrating for you? I mean, like, after 99, you're like, I just want to find the right person.
Oh, yeah. What was depressing is that sometimes, like, the first time you hear someone walk through the door and that they're speaking the lines of your character for the first time, it's the first time you actually hear it verbalized by an actor, and they're trying out, and the actor says it wrong and doesn't do the part right, you go, oh my god, my script really sucks. Like, I can't even imagine, like, what the hell I was writing for the last 4 years, you know? But then someone comes through, and then they say the lines right, and they inhabit the character, and they bring it through, and they're storytellers, and they're like, oh my god, I'm a genius. like I didn't do something right. It's amazing how an actor can sell a line and turn it into a piece of life.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that was most fascinating about it. Like, the unfortunate thing is that to get to that one piece of life that you would find, you'd have to go through 99 deaths.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. Is there any part in the casting process where you thought you wanted this type of actor, this type of character, and somebody comes in to reach for the role, and it just brings something totally different? You're like, you know what? I like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of the hardest parts, we'd had that a couple times. Sometimes the parts do shift a little bit according to how someone brings something to the table, you know? Like, I think Dane changed the Verge tonality a little bit, Dane Cook.
Yeah.
You know, because he has a certain rhythm and vocal speech.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he was playing it instinctively, it was interesting because we would have, all the other kids would have the sort of screwball comedy style where the dialogue's really fast and furious and coming at you at 100 miles an hour. And then Dane, as the principal, was this rock. And he would slow things down and just be really calibrated. And like, all these kids would try to talk really fast and we'd keep running to this wall.
Yeah.
And Dane brought that to the table, and it was really funny to see that contrast happen, and it really brought the world apart. And it's a very subtle thing that I don't think most people would recognize, but he's the one that like kind of pulls the kids and stops them from talking fast.
Yeah.
And sort of like puts them in a verbal dimension.
Yeah. How did the casting of Dane come about?
I knew Dane personally for a while.
Yeah.
And I gave him a part in my previous movie, Torque, when he wasn't, you know, as big as he was now. So he owed me a favor.
That's easy. And especially with a good script. He's like, yeah, it's harder not to say no. directing process with because I've been on set with young actors before, and there's kind of heads everywhere. You know, how do you kind of round everybody up and sort of say, all right, let's get to it. You know what I mean?
We had an extensive rehearsal period.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is
that's huge. Lot.
And we would just go in there and go through the script, and we would go through the lines, and ask them what they're doing, and we'd discuss things for a little, and then we'd go through some actual physical blocking. And I would then sort of think of it like I was the camera and trying to figure out where the camera would be and stuff like that. But it was an actual sort of workshop that we do. And we would workshop out the scenes, you know, for a couple hours a night.
And did that, through the rehearsal process, did part of the script change?
Sometimes it would. Sometimes, yeah. Because I had my writer there, and we would look at it and go, oh, we should change this line because she said it funnier, or you know, it seemed the rhythm seemed funnier, like we switched this around, things like that. We'd calibrate it. And it was a very fluid process. But, you know, because I'm the co-writer, and I'm the financier, I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
So I could start switching out things and do whatever I wanted. That was the process. It was really a very, very creative period where, like, I feel like the actors could really experiment.
Yeah. Do you think your next film is going to be self-financed as well, or co-financed?
I have no idea what the future will bring.
Yeah.
Like
you could have done anything you wanted to for this film. Do you think you can go back to like a studio film and like so rigid?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I'm used to like working under a lot of pressure and with executives looking over my shoulders and stuff like that. I prefer not to, and I prefer like any artist would just love to just sort of do whatever you want. But I'm also very collaborative at the same time. It depends what it is. You know, it's like if I wouldn't lie if someone said, look, you have $150 million, and you know we need you to play the game this way. Can you be that guy? Of course I can. You know, but can I also be the guy that goes off and make my own movie for you know whatever and with my own money? I can be that guy too. It's just whatever. It's like life is open to all sorts of possibilities, and I'd like to swing it all.
And just one more question: what's your advice to young filmmakers?
My advice to young filmmakers? I think that people play it too safe. And I feel like if you're going to try a new idea, the problem is that everybody will tell you that that new idea is terrible. Because it's my experience over and over again. Whenever you do something new and interesting, inevitably, the vast majority of people will reject it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's any choice. As an actor, as a filmmaker, as a writer, as whatever. Anytime you do something unconventional, like, it's different. Like, and I know this from experience as a music director. Every time I hear a new piece of music, I always have to listen to it a couple times. My first instinct is, if I hear the music way before it gets on the radio, way before anything like that, my first instinct is always, this sounds weird. I'm not used to it. But this is something new. But then once you listen to it a little closer, and then you listen again, you figure out certain things, and then some music starts popping and stuff like that. It's the natural rhythm of how we interact as human beings. We don't like new things. We like familiar things. It's kind of a Darwinian code of survival. We like things that are safe because we like to know that chair is over there so we don't bump into it. You know, it's just an instinctual human behavior.
Yeah.
So, but if you want to rearrange the chair to make it better and make the room more open, you know, it's gonna require a little shift of orientation. It's always gonna be a little strange. So the most important thing I can say as a creative person is, if you want to change that chair, change that chair, and eventually people are gonna have to adapt to your room.
Thanks, Joseph, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.